Okay, welcome to council meeting, everybody. We appreciate y'all being here. We know we are short in numbers. Let's just go around the table and introduce ourselves, and then I'll state who has proxies. Ron, do you want to start with you?
Okay, I'm Ron Wade from Utah Prosecution Counsel.
Ryan Peters, Juab County Attorney.
Will Carlson for Salt Lake County DA.
Riley Jones, Utah Prosecution Counsel.
Haley Christensen, Utah County Attorney's Office.
Oh, and who, actually, you tell us who you have the proxy for.
Yvette.
Okay, West Valley City.
Marilyn Jasperson, Utah Prosecution Counsel.
Okay.
Steve Garcet, Layton City. Scott Stevenson from DPS. Robert Coasen, St. George City. Ed Montgomery, West Jordan. Stephen Foote, Dew Chesney. And Barry Huntington, Way South.
Okay.
Garfield.
Okay.
Garfield, yeah, thanks.
Bob Church, Prosecution Counsel. So then Dave Carlson from the AG's office is not present. Jan Ferris is not present. I think that covers everybody. Is the former chair, do you want to conduct, or do you want me to just go through?
Go right ahead.
Okay, all right. So we just appreciate everybody being here. So let's go to the first item on the agenda is approval of the minutes from the April 17th council meeting. Is there a motion?
Robert Coasen moves to approve the minutes.
Okay, a second?
Ed Montgomery second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. All right. The meetings from our May 16th council meeting where we talked about the survey. A motion to approve?
I'm trying to think who all was there. I guess it doesn't matter.
I was there. I make a motion to approve.
Okay, Ryan Peters moves a second.
I'll second.
Okay.
Okay. On the phone.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay. Then a review from the action items from our last meeting is we had talked about the credit card payments. Haven't heard back from the courts. The challenge with the June council meeting is it follows so closely on the heels with April and when we've got other things. So we're still following up with the courts to see how they process their credit card fees and what system they're using. So we will get back on that. We talked about the COLA, and I wasn't sure how UPC employees would be covered with the COLA. Well, what happened is with the general funds that we receive to fund HB 200 trauma funds, Marlisa's position is the legislature actually increased those funds enough to cover the COLA for UPC members, so that increase is not having to come out of our surcharge. We also talked about the Wi-Fi costs, and because it was right on spring and we knew we were paying a grundle for spring, it turns out that really is the biggest Wi-Fi cost. We ended up spending $3,498 on Wi-Fi for spring. That would have been double. Normally they would charge us per day, but Marilyn was able to work with them, and so they only charged us that one-time fee. And so then the only other time that we paid an actual line item for Wi-Fi was $300 at fall conference, whereas all of the other conferences, any Wi-Fi costs are factored into the costs, either of the meeting room spaces or the rooms or things like that. So that's our report back. So like I said, spring just really is the one that has the big Wi-Fi cost, and I don't think we can get away from that. As I recall, the discussion was is that we need the Wi-Fi, or our members expect to have Wi-Fi service. So that's our report, unless you guys want to talk about it.
I do. So for next year, I mean, it's likely it's going to be $7,000 unless you twist their arm again, right, to give us half of it.
Right. That's just for the bandwidth, the $3,498.
Uh-huh.
So that's just for Wi-Fi itself. And the $7,000 was the equipment or the
oh, that's right.
The
yeah.
AV
okay.
part. So this is just the Wi-Fi portion
but
of the
$7,000. For 2 days.
For 2 days. So if we had, it would have been more like $10,000 about if they hadn't have given me the 1 day cost for 2 days.
So the $10,000 would have been bandwidth and the equipment.
Yes.
Okay. So do you think? I mean, what's your guess as far as next
They'll probably do the same thing for us next year, and really the cost didn't increase that much from year to year. It was just about the same. So
I don't know. I mean, obviously, you know, we I don't think we can do a cold turkey, but I really think that if it's going to be that much each time, that we need to start, I mean, just educating the folks that attend, that you've got to do this stuff beforehand.
Yeah. I don't know. I think the problem, at least that I've seen, is that a lot of times, especially with smaller offices, that I've already downloaded everything to my computer so I can follow along, but then I get a call saying, hey, I got a case you need to screen right now, and I got to have Wi-Fi to do that, and so I got to pull it up and start doing that. But that much of a cost, is there a way to...
Can you hotspot your phone, though?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah, we could do that.
I think if you just advertise from the beginning...
That it's going to not going to be
The worst possible scenario would be welcoming people and telling them, by the way, there's...
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, because obviously if you've looked at our budget for next year, we could use that, you know, $3,000, $7,000.
And we could add that announcement in the brochure as well.
Right.
Just like we tell them to download the materials before, and we're paperless now. I can add that into the brochure.
Is there a way to build that cost into, I guess there probably wouldn't be, I was like thinking into the registration fees, but we need to build in some stuff to the registration fees for our budget anyway. So.
Yeah. Well, it seems like most people, at least with their personal phones, I mean, almost everybody's unlimited data anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, in some of the places when we go off the front, though, the Wi-Fi is not all that great, but the expectations are, and the hard thing is that, yeah, it's okay at this conference, we're going to pay for it, this conference is not that much, but then the big one we're not.
Right.
And so I just think that...
That
we just start saying Wi-Fi might not be available, even in all of the brochures, and then on that one, Wi-Fi will not be available. So download beforehand or bring your own hotspot.
Or provide your own Wi-Fi.
But only in the meeting room, right? They'll still have Wi-Fi in their rooms.
Oh, right.
If there was an emergence situation, they actually could go somewhere to access it just in the conference.
If you're staying at the hotel.
Yeah.
Right.
They usually have Wi-Fi
that's
in the lobby for free, too.
Yeah.
Most of the Wasatch Front doesn't stay at the hotel.
I understand Ryan's point in terms of being able to pick up your work while you're sitting there in the conference, because then attorneys have the conflict of, well, I had to leave 30 minutes into this, and that's my CLE. I'm only going to get 30 minutes of an hour. So, I mean, that's the benefit of being able to have Wi-Fi while you're sitting there. You can still continue doing your work, or if there is an emergency that comes up and you need to deal with it right there and not have to leave.
So,
and that's pretty frustrating, because you think about it, there is no real cost to the hotel.
Yeah. It's there whether we use it or not.
Exactly.
So Marilyn, this $34.98 that you mentioned at the spring conference, if we were to do away with Wi-Fi altogether, we'd actually gain more than that, right? Because we wouldn't need all the equipment.
No, that's really the presentation of the PowerPoint.
That's just the bandwidth. And you have to understand that the AV that we consider AV, which is all of the AV equipment.
Which is the screens,
the screen
cords,
and everything like that. And the Wi-Fi is a third party.
I see.
So it's not really the hotel. It's the third party that the hotel contracts with.
And actually with the Wi-Fi, there is a cost to the hotel because they have a third party managing it.
Oh.
Yeah.
And they have to separate it into, they have to do some stuff on the background, but I mean, it's really not anywhere close to
worth $3,500. See, now, if we had this in Layton, you could just go out in the park, because we have free Wi-Fi in our park.
Well, I was just thinking the city library has free Wi-Fi. Yeah. In Main Street, there's free Wi-Fi.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they've got it set up for the hotel. There is no real actual cost to the hotel other than paying for the third party to manage it, to turn it on and manage it in the meeting rooms.
But they specifically told me to bring down their van. And
they don't have it available in the meeting rooms because they want to be able to charge for it.
Right, right.
And that's just how they make some of the money. And I think they give, in talking with, I did conferences for a national group. I was involved with the board and we were planning conferences. We talked with the hotel several times. And what they do is they give you less cost for the meeting rooms or none, depending on the situation. And then they add that on to get a little bit out of it. So it's kind of like you're paying for the space, whether you're paying for the space or not. Mm-hmm. But the Wi-Fi itself really doesn't cost them much of anything. In reality, but they use that as a way to get a little extra money for conferences because people want it.
Anyway, but I think that we need to revisit it. Obviously, we want more voices here than just my six. So I think we need to put this definitely on the next agenda. Yeah. Have a discussion, but that would be my inclination is that we begin to let people know that,
right,
I
right.
mean, you know, $3,500.
Right.
I mean, that's an out-of-town speaker, right? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Well, wow. What I was going to suggest is Marilyn, if you'll contact the hotel and just say, we are considering not getting, you know, the Wi-Fi, and are they going to ding us then in another area?
Right. Yeah. So, if we're going to pay it regardless, we might as well keep the Wi-Fi.
Right. So, yeah, so we will have a report on that. We'll follow up for next council meeting.
So it's not hotel specific, right? Some hotels will give it to you for free, some won't.
Yeah, they'll just include it in the room rental.
So you know,
for the smaller things, when we're, for example, St. George, either Hilton Garden Inn or the Marriott, that's just part of the room charge.
Right, and so, it's not significantly more than some other place.
Right.
Yeah.
For the spring conference, how much cheaper is the Sheraton than other options?
Yeah, that was my question. Are there other options?
It's cheaper.
I mean, is it more than $3,500 cheaper?
Yeah. Well, it's just, where could we go? What, the Viridian
Center?
Well,
the Viridian Center, I don't know. Definitely it would be cheaper at the Viridian Center.
Well, no, right. I'm just wondering, you probably don't know. I'm just trying to think if we could fit spring at the Viridian Center.
What their capacity is.
Yeah.
We can find.
I'd have to. I'd have to revisit that.
Yeah.
I think you can get, if I remember correctly, because it's been a couple of 3 years since we've been there, and it was half the size, and it was under 100.
Yeah, it's.
With that whole bank of space, you could get probably 300 in there, but it would be.
Tighter.
Well, it would not be, it would be theater style.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah, not rounds.
No tables at all. It's theater.
Oh, right. Yeah. Just be sitting.
It's just chairs.
Just plain chairs, nothing else.
Yeah. So doesn't our CLE require that there be a table in front of people?
Well,
no, I'm serious. I think that
for note taking.
Yeah, I think they actually require that the room.
I didn't know that.
Yeah. I didn't know that either.
I think it is. It used to be. I don't know. Well,
the city library downtown has a theater with little.
Oh yeah, desks. See, that would work.
And that has probably over 300. It's theater style amphitheater.
Oh.
Okay, let's look at that. Okay, so we will also report on that.
So is going to the Davis Conference Center too far? Because we like to keep it centrally here. Because we had Mary Ann Jennings, that professor from ASU, came, and I can't remember what they charged us, but it wasn't much at all.
Yeah. So speaking as probably the one who came the furthest, I wouldn't even mind going to.
So city library.
At least
was the
for
one
today's meeting, came the furthest. I wouldn't mind going to the Davis Conference Center.
Yeah. Okay. Pardon.
The Davis is that the one you just mentioned?
No, Davis Conference Center.
There's a hotel right there.
Yeah.
Nice. Maybe 20.
A bunch of them right there.
Yeah.
So how much for Utah County folks? I mean, because you'd probably have to stay over.
Yeah.
Is that within your budget? I mean, is that something that's going to keep you from going to spring?
No.
What do you guys think for you guys?
That has
is
been,
it more than 50 miles?
That has been the issue.
Depends on the day. Yeah.
That's been the issue.
Yeah.
The years that I've been here is the reason it's in Salt Lake. Yeah.
Right. But
do we make a library? How's parking for the library, though?
Awful. Okay. I mean, there's underground parking, but it's all paid.
But it's
parking.
Not going to accommodate
that. Yeah, so parking would be the
parking
problem.
Parking would be a problem.
For the city library.
Yeah.
Encourage people to take tracks.
There was a debate during the DA's race at the U's Law School on their new top floor, and it fits several hundred people.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Right there at the law school, it's right next to the stadium.
Right where they can park. Okay, let's look at that also.
And a track stop.
Parking at the U is awful.
It'll be in April, school's still going on.
Yeah, during the school year.
Yeah, it's awful.
Yeah.
It's like right now it's not bad.
No, it's not bad.
Should move spring to fall. Spring to summer, I mean.
I wonder when their spring break is. That can make a difference.
I bet it's probably public already.
There's also that facility called Noah's. I've heard about it. I went to
a wedding reception there in Sandy.
So how big is it? I mean,
it looked like a big cube. From the inside. It was just one big recreation hall kind of thing. Cultural hall kind of feel.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But larger than even a cultural
hall. Okay, well, we've got some options.
Yeah, if it were over spring break, that would be nice.
Yeah. Okay, continuing on with follow-up is Haley and Marilyn will report when we get down to the UPA the status of the gathering the information for the prosecutor survey. And then we talked about releasing the county and district attorney contact information to that professor. I just emailed her back and gave her the link on our webpage where she could, you know, get that contact information without actually having to send her anything. Okay, so that's a recap then of...
And we did get our hard copy, and I gave it to our support staff to start gathering information.
Great, thank you. Okay. All right, our financial report. As you know, it's indicated here, and as I said last week, I was negligent and failed to back up as I was working in the FY20 budget, and I don't know what happened, but after it froze, and when I got back in, everything from May of 2018 on was deleted. So
did they bring that up in your personnel review?
Bob can't take he can't take the full brunt of that because
it was my fault because I was working on it last.
Like our IT guys say, the problem is the connection between the chair and the keyboard.
Right. Yeah.
IT have said that for years. Yeah. That was true 20, 30 years ago, too.
So once we're done here, Ron and Marilyn and I are going to look at, as it says in here, it's a 2014 version. I don't know if that was the problem. QuickBooks is really super sophisticated. We don't really need everything. So we're going to look and see if there's another program that gives us what we need. I will turn on the automatic backup so that I don't lose data in the future, regardless of what system we do. So I apologize, we don't have a comparison report. Marilyn has kind of run some numbers. Do you want to just briefly report on that?
I just went back through from June 2018 to June 2019. Making an estimate of May and June, since we don't have those numbers even from finance. So everything was in QuickBooks up to April. So if Bob has any of those numbers, it was hopefully up through April.
Right.
So I broke it down into personnel, just to make it real simple, into personnel expenses, just total expenses, and then a total of those two, and then I got the year-end total. It looks like that our personnel is on average about $52,962 a month, which comes up to a total at the end of the year of $635,522 and change. And then with just expenses, it comes up to $319,670.61. And if you take the higher number, I added it up both ways, but if you take the higher number for the two, it's about $986,123.32, give or take a couple of $30,000. But so that includes everything, everybody. So that's HB 200 personnel and expenses and TSRP. So that doesn't take into consideration any kind of income. And Bob has those numbers. But that's kind of the budget that we run off of, and obviously our personnel is 3/4 of our budget.
As it should be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's just kind of a quick and dirty.
So, I mean, I'm assuming that, I mean, anecdotally we'll say it just because of, you know, all of the legislative changes, and now judges, after 90 days of sending it to state debt collection, those type of things, no longer can probation be extended only to collect a fine payment. Again, we know that anecdotally. Do we have the empirical reason as to why the surcharge is? Do we know that that's the reason?
Well, there was a specific requirement that judges give defendants the option to ask for
community
service.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Right.
I know that we haven't changed our practice. Judges really haven't either.
Yeah. So, no, I'm not aware of empirical data, but we haven't asked that. And so maybe that's something that we add to our survey. You know, because we can have those Utah-specific questions as we ask something about that.
I don't know if the prosecuting entity is going to be aware of the surcharges. It's going to be more quirk data.
I guess what I was thinking is are you seeing, you know,
are you doing it any different?
Yeah.
Are you doing the community service more?
Yeah, or have you noticed any
change?
But
you're right, from the courts, we ought to see, you know, what their collection has been without...
Yeah.
Using that.
Yeah.
Whether it's being ordered at the same level and collected less or just ordered less.
Right.
Or do they not, they just 90 days,
wash their hands.
Else's deal. Mm-hmm.
So, okay. So like I said, apologize, we don't have a year-end comparison report. Going forward, we're going to try to update that, especially now if we're going to be looking at a new system. And so we will, even before next council meeting, if we're able to salvage and or put together more of a year-end comprehensive report, we'll get that out to everybody for your review. Because the surcharge getting reported to me, you know, takes as long as it has, I haven't received May surcharge. So since our last meeting, I only have April to report. So you can see this year we collected $39,000. Last year it was 47, so you can see just the large drop. I forwarded on to you, I don't know if you were able to open it. This is the first time in 5 years that I've seen this where the state actually, instead of just forwarding the surcharge saying here's the surcharge, you know, sent me a couple of paragraphs saying it's down. You know, you and I talked about it, like $75,000 plus dollars or more. I mean, it's gotta be more than that.
It was significant.
Yeah.
It scared me.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, so. I'll just mention it now. So, you know, as I get down into the budget is, let me just follow this, like, stay in order. Okay. So that's the surcharge. It's abysmal. So moving into our fiscal year 20 budget discussion, I'm going to give you the bottom line up front, what we're recommending, but then we can go through specifically. So the budget that I'm recommending is a compromise budget between staying and going away for conferences, but it does assume that the council would vote to increase registration fees to $125 per person. And so here are just some of the highlights. For example, the county executive conference, normally Marilyn and I would attend. I've cut that out. It's not a lot, but it is, you know, $1,000 or maybe it's a little bit less in savings. The only expense then that UPC, that the council would bear would be the cost of the CLE credits for the county attorneys that are attending. Our domestic violence conference that we had to bump until next March. We were going to go south, take it, you know, off-site, but if with this budget, we would keep it local and we would do it in this room. Normally, we have sent a couple staff members to our national conferences. The compromise budget, we would only send one person to our biannual conference. I've tried to start attending the Municipal Attorneys Association. I won't go to that. Again, it's not a lot, but it's several hundred dollars. The council retreat in September, we had planned on taking you all to Kanab, but if we stay, that the compromise would be we would stay here local and keep it in this room. My concern is, though, that, you know, will people attend and will they stay the entire time? The training committee, traditionally, we have taken them off-site for their October meeting. We would hold it in this room here. Proposing discontinuing subsidizing the LEOJ. We've usually donated $2,000 per year, and it's only benefited, you know, the handful that can attend. And so my suggestion is that those that are able to attend, that they be required to pay a fee to cover those costs. Cancel our Bloomberg Law subscription. It's about $2,000 a year. This is where we get a lot of our case law summaries, but we will just have to be creative with that. So that's kind of an overview of this compromise budget. So let me go into some of the details. Last year, we were appropriated $727,000, but I knew we wouldn't get that, so I only budgeted for about $537,000. And I'm projecting that we're actually going to come in around 480 or 490. So, you know, it's even less than what I had projected. This year, they're telling us that we're going to get 553,000, but there's no way that I can, you know, follow that same model, that same percentage, and, you know, cut $190,000 off 553. So based on this year's numbers, I'm going with, you know, our year end next year will be in the high 400s, maybe low 500s. And so what I've done is all of the budgets that I came up with assume or plan on receiving $480,000 next year.
I've got a question.
Yeah.
So higher on the exec summary. Year-to-date, it says 2019 surcharges, $391.
Oh, right.
And that, I'm assuming is through the end of April.
Oh, excuse me, thank you.
With only 2 months left, how are we gonna get to 480?
That's just based on what I'm projecting that May and June's surcharge receipts will be.
So that'd be like $90,000 out of 2 months?
Yeah, that's just...
Seems hopeful.
It is, but June, the, May and June typically have been a little bit higher.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm showing that May and June will be about $80,000.
Okay.
So...
No, that, thanks for clarifying that, well, I should've mentioned that, yeah. Typically, the end of the year, we see a little, a bump, yeah. Yeah, yeah. Good question, though. Okay, also, in the past, we have received a surcharge carryover anywhere from $50,000 to $80,000. I'm not quite sure what that will be this year. If the surcharge is as low as it is, we may not receive that much. Now, one reason that it has been as high as it has been in the past is we typically have come under budget on our conferences and, you know, have been able to save money in other places, and we've continued to do that this year. So I don't know. And I won't find out what the surcharge, what the carryover will be to probably until August. If we do not get at least $50,000 surcharge is what I plan for, then we will be hurting if we don't get that surcharge. So that's why I say the council must vote. It's kind of strong language. Of course, it's up to you. And as I get down to the other budgets, you'll see that I have done budgets based on, you know, keeping our surcharge at $75 and $100, but this is all based on $125, or increasing it to $125. Training committee had voted to raise it to $125. The council, I don't think, was opposed to it, but we wanted some more information, and now we have it. Of note, in the past, we haven't charged, well, the UPAA, the registration fees have been absorbed by the $12,000 that the pass-through, basically, that we gave them. What I'm proposing is, you know, we still afford them the $12,000, but we actually now start charging them, each person to attend, the same fee, the $125 fee, as opposed to, you know, we say we're charging you, but it's, you know, it's being absorbed. So I'm saying that we really do need to actually charge them for that. I'm proposing that we don't subsidize students who attend basic. And let me just say, the reason, I thought about postponing this meeting, but I thought if the council does vote to increase the registration fee to $125, we need to put this out now, because as people are finalizing, you know, budgets going into FY20, they've got to be aware of that. So that's why I went forward with today's meeting. But if we don't subsidize students, and what we've been doing is paying for their hotel and per diem, if we don't do that, that could result in about $11,000 savings. Also to note, when you're looking at through the budget, any expenses associated with the TSRP, with Tyson and Marlise, those are funded differently. And so that's why you're not going to see cuts in terms of their travel, the conferences that they go to, just because Tyson has grant funds and then Marlise has those dedicated funds that we do have to spend towards her things. We are able to use, there's some wiggle room with those dedicated funds we get, but I don't want to veer too far off the legislature's intended purpose for those funds, because I don't want to jeopardize that in any way. The costs associated with e-prosecutor, the travel, the conference fees, etc., that are in the budget, we've got to pay for those, or we've got to spend that money, because that's part of our requirement, you know, to go out and train and manage e-prosecutor. Let's see. And then, as I said, if we don't go to conference resort destinations, that I think that would be a major outcry. I mean, if we're not, Marilyn and I talked about it, I can just imagine the backlashes if we say every conference for the next year is going to be at the DA's office, at the Viridian Center, or at the Attorney General's office. I think people would still come because they need their CLE, but I can only imagine. I mean, if people are complaining about having fajitas every year at spring conference, can you imagine what the...
They'll stop complaining about fajitas.
I know. So that's kind of an overview. So
A couple of questions I have.
Yeah.
And the last time also, Marilyn talked about the fact that not all the offices had been